If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Mark chapter 6. And as we continue looking today at lessons in the storm, I want to read just a few verses of the chapter, and then we'll go back and pray and dive into it. Starting in verse 45, notice what it says. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent away the multitude. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and the boat was alone on the land. Or rather, he was alone on the land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost. And they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Father, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in the midst of the storm. And Lord, again, as we come to another storm in the life of the disciples, there's no doubt those in this room right now that are going through some type of storm. Some are small storms, some are great storms. But either way, God, what we see is that you are there watching over us in the midst of the storm, and you're there to rescue us at just the right time, and there's a purpose for it. And I pray, God, Lord, as you minister to us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, God, that you'd minister to those that are struggling in the storm right now, God, wondering how long is this going to be and when am I going to find relief in the midst of this? And I pray, God, that today you would speak to their hearts and maybe even set some free today as you work by the power of your Holy Spirit. So, God, we give you all the glory, and we ask you bless our time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we come today again to lessons in the storm. It seems like the last few weeks, really, we've been in storms a lot. Maybe the last month or two, we've been on Wednesday night in storms with Paul, and then now another storm here on Sunday morning. So a lot of storms going on. And whenever I see God coordinating that, obviously we would see that here in Mark, but also on the Wednesday nights, that means some of you guys are going through storms. And I think I can be so bold as to say probably a lot of you guys are going through storms this morning. And God knows that, and that's why God is speaking to us as a body about storms. And so again, you need to understand that in the midst of the storm, God is there watching over, and God is going to do a purpose in your life through the storm and release you from the storm at the right time. And we'll see all this unfold as we get into it today. Again, this is another scary storm, not unlike the storm we saw earlier where God was working in their hearts in faith and trust and not having doubt. In the first storm, remember, they were doubting the Lord. Lord, why are you not helping us, God? What's going to happen? We're all going to die. And he was growing their faith and their trust in him. And now he sends them into another storm where they're going to learn perseverance. So we're going to see that's the main goal of this particular storm. And whenever God sends us into storms, there's always a reason and there's always a purpose. And so right now, those of you that are in the midst of a storm, there's a reason and a purpose for it, and God is going to be faithful to you through the midst of it, not only to see you through it, but to change in you what he wants to change, and not just allow you to survive, but help you to overcome. And so that's what we're going to see today. Now, where we left off last time, if you remember, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 there on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, right below what they call the Golan Heights today, the mountains of Gilead, but they're in the open area. And now, rather than continuing on, when he told them they were going to be getting away, the plans had changed, and now he sends them back to the other direction. And remember the setting here. These guys are extremely exhausted going into this. That is, before they crossed over to the other side, they were already exhausted, and the Lord said, "Let's go have a getaway." So they're thinking they're going to do this getaway. They get to the other side. The crowds are running around the bank of the water, if you remember. They're waiting on them on the other side. And they get off the boat. They're thinking, "Oh my goodness, not only did we not get a getaway, now we got to minister again all day." And who knows if they knew it was going to be all day or not, but they knew Jesus enough to know that it probably would be. So they minister all day, and the Lord does the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And then now at the end of the day, he says, "All right, guys, now go back to the other side." And so again, this is where we take up here in verse 45. And notice what it says. And it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. Now, again, it's interesting here. The wording that's used here is very intriguing to me because when you just read it on the surface, you don't get the intensity of what's happening here. But the word "made" here literally means this: something by force with an unexpected urgency. So it wasn't just, hey guys, I want you to get in the boat and go the other side. It was get in the boat now and get going. You, those of you that are parents and you've got kids and maybe some situation's a little bit weird, or maybe you're somewhere and something feels uncomfortable, like get in the car. We're going now. Just get in the car, close the door, buck yours. We're going. That's the kind of idea this is. Don't waste any time. There's an urgency here. And so no doubt this would have taken the disciples by surprise. Lord, what's the urgency? I mean, okay, we're getting in. What's happening? Why are you pushing this on us so much? And are you coming with us? No, I'm not coming with you. You go on. I'll meet you over there. I'll find you. We'll meet up later. He didn't say how he would get over there. And it doesn't mention even saying that he would meet them over there, but they knew that he would. They're probably wondering all these things in their mind as they get into the boat and they launch out wondering what in the world just happened. Well, I don't know, but he's the Lord. Let's do it. And we're going to see in the meantime, he's going to go to the mountain to pray. But the point that we need to grab here is that sometimes there are suddenly unexpected things the Lord does in our life where he sends us into a trial or a storm that we're not expecting. It's been smooth sailing. Things are going great. The blessings are flowing. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, boom. And we're like, what just happened? Guys, you need to know this. When that happens in your life, the Lord sent you into it and he's in control of it. Now, here's the frustrating thing about storms. And again, you've all experienced this, storms and or trials. They come in clusters. Have you noticed? Again, it's very interesting. It's not just like you have a flat tire. You have a flat tire. Then you get home and find out that your refrigerator and your dryer are both broken. And then you find out somebody's mad at you at the office. And then you realize you didn't pay that bill and they've canceled your insurance or whatever the case might be. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, why are all these things happening at the same time? Why can't it just be one thing at a time, Lord? Let me get over that one, then give me another one. You're not understanding the whole purpose of the trials and the way that God changes our lives. And that is, they come by pressure. And it's by pressure they change, which means when you have a trial of the Lord or trials of the Lord or storms in the Lord, they're going to all come at one time, guys. Now, there's sometimes it's only one little thing at a time, and I'm always appreciative when that happens. But that old phrase, when it rains, it pours, there, nothing could be more true when it comes to the storms and trials in our life, and there's a purpose for it. It takes that to bring the change that God wants to make in our life. Again, the coal can only turn into a diamond if it's pressured from all sides long enough in the right way. And if God is going to change you to be more like Christ, he's got to pressure you from all sides in the right way all at once, and it's going to be like, ah! Imagine if coal could talk, right? Ah! Hey, this looks pretty nice by the time you're done, right? I'm pretty shiny, but that's what God is doing in your life, and it's what he does in our life as he works through these trials and brings this pressure in. And as I said, oftentimes very unexpected. And it might be that you find yourself in an unexpected storm this morning that the Lord has put you in. Maybe you didn't realize the Lord had put you there, but God put you there. And what we're going to see, here's the encouragement. He's not going to keep you there any longer than he has to, and he's going to deliver you in a supernatural way when the time is right. So trust him. Let him do the work that he's going to do and realize that God is the one doing this. He has to be the one to work in the way to bring about the change in our life. You know, I was thinking about this in the last service, and it kind of popped in my brain. We are the goal of God is to make us like Jesus. Here's the Lord, here we are. Look at the distance we have to get to Jesus. Now, I know we're not going to be like the Lord till we're in heaven. I get that. We're going to die and get a new body. We'll be with the Lord. We'll be perfect. We'll be transformed. As David said in the Psalms, I'll be satisfied when I awake in the likeness of the Lord. And so will I. But in the meantime, God says, I'm still going to work in your life, Mark, until we get you here. I'm going to keep working. The work that I've begun, I'm going to be faithful to complete until the day of Christ Jesus. And each trial and each test and each storm and each thing, God is working me more. And there's no way that change is going to happen unless God turns up the heat. Again, those of you that lift weights, and I said in the last service, the men, but I want to say the women as well, because a lot of women lift weights. You know, if you're going to see any change from lifting weights other than just general, trying to keep in some kind of general level of shape, if you're looking to build any muscle or see any major growth in strength, you're going to have to push your body beyond its natural limit. It's not going to happen any other way. You go in there and have this kind of a simple little thing, you're going to stay kind of the same way. You've got to push yourself. You've got to strain your body to get it to this new place. And that's why in weightlifting, you'll oftentimes have these what they call spotters. And what they'll do is when you can't do any more weight, the spotter will either say, come on, you can do a couple more, and they're going to grab it if it falls on. You're doing a bench press or whatever. They're going to hold it, and you're trying to get as much as you can, and the burn's increasing, and the weakness is increasing. You're about to give out. Everything's about to struggle. That's the moment you grow. And for those of you right now that are in the storm and you're in that struggle, you're in that burn, you're in that I can't do this, I need somebody to be a spotter. Well, the Lord has you spotted this morning. And we're going to see that he's spotting the disciples as well while they're out there rowing and straining. In just a moment when we get there, he's not going to let them have more than they can handle. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says that God will never give us more than we can handle. But here's the thing. Sometimes he'll put us in a situation where we can't handle it, but he'll make sure he comes to the rescue. Do you follow me? So you may be going to say, I can't handle this, Lord. He's going, I know you can't handle it. And I've done that on purpose, and now I'm going to give you supernatural strength, and I'm going to show you in a supernatural way that I'm going to come to you as you cry out to me, and you're going to learn to trust me. And so that's exactly what's happening here. They're getting ready to learn these lessons of trust in the Lord in a new and deeper way, and again, to go not just from learning not to doubt and learning to have greater faith, but to persevere even through the storm. And look what it says in verse 46. It says, and when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. Now, I love this because notice he sends them away in the boat by himself or by themselves, and he goes up to the mountain. There are those mountains that we said of Gilead and the Golan Heights right there next to the Sea of Galilee. He goes up there in the mountain, and the reason he does that is to station himself in a position to see them as they're out there in the storm. Now, you might wonder, how in the world could the Lord see them out there in the storm at night? Because this is going to go all through the night. The way you can do that, and that day, last week we saw this, was during the Passover season. And during the Passover season, there's a full moon. And when there's a full moon, you can see the entire area of the Sea of Galilee. He would have easily been able to see them. And it's the non-rainy season, which means it wouldn't have been cloudy either. And we were over there on a mission, not a mission trip, on a Israel trip several years ago. And we were there at the Sea of Galilee, and they had one of those blood moons. And with the blood moons, what it is, they're at a certain angle in the atmosphere that when it comes through the atmosphere, they seem even larger than normal. But you couldn't believe how bright it was. It lit up the entire Sea of Galilee, the whole region around there. And again, knowing that a full moon would do that just as well, it was such a wonderful example to me just to live. Lord could have seen them out on the water. It's an image I'll never forget in my mind. He would have been very easily able to see them from this vantage point with the moon being that bright and all that was happening. And the point is, God is going to be watching over them through the midst of this entire struggle. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And so what he's saying is, I see your struggle. I know you're in the struggle. I'm watching and praying for you in the midst of the struggle, and I'm going to see you through it. And so again, it's interesting. You think about the struggle. I think, well, Lord, if you're seeing the struggle and I'm there in the struggle, why don't you just end it and there's no more struggle? You know, I'm kind of one of those no pain, no pain guys, right? Makes it easier, right? But the bottom line is God says, no, Mark, I've got to let this happen. There has to be the struggle. There has to be the pain that comes in or you're not going to grow. And so I find it interesting. The first trial, he was with them in the boat. Remember, he said, you're going to the other side. He was with them in the boat as they were doubting and they were lacking faith. He made his presence so known to them. Now he puts them in a new trial where his presence is not as known. He sends them on in the boat without him, but he's there. He's watching the entire time. And so you've been in those trials where you know God's there with you in the boat. You know you can feel his presence. It's hard, but he's there with you. Then you've been in those trials where you think, wait a minute, Lord, where are you? Did you forget about me? Am I all alone? I thought you were going to always be with me. Look, there are times where God will send us out on our own while he watches and prays. Yes, he's always with us. But get this, God can't learn perseverance for you. You have to go through the trial. You have to learn the perseverance. You've got to learn to endure as he gives you the power and gives you the strength. As he's there at the right hand of the Father, what he's saying is, Father, I've sent him out there on his own. I've sent her out there on her own. I'm watching them. They're with them. They're not really on their own. We know that. But give them your Holy Spirit. Give them your power. Give them what they need to be able to make it through this trial, to learn to persevere and to know that I will always be there and always give them what they need and to teach them to cry out for help so I can give them what they need. And we're going to see that as well. And look what it says in verse 47. It says, now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Note that, he's in the middle of the sea. Keep that in mind, because what he's done is, he's now sent them out into a storm that he knows is coming. He's put them out in the middle of the sea where there's no escape. Again, this is so, it's such a setup by the Lord. And look at verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. I have that underlined. At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Notice it was now later in the night, again, really early in the morning, we would say, and they're now in the middle of the sea. Jesus sees them by the moonlight, straining at the rowing. And what's interesting is, as he's praying for them and he's watching them straining, the word straining here I find intriguing for the trial and the test that God is sending them through. It means tortured and tormented. Some of you this morning are in a storm and you feel tortured. You feel tormented. Listen, the Lord sent you there. He's not going to leave you there alone. He's watching. He's praying for you. He's going to see you through it. At the right moment, he's going to come and rescue you supernaturally, but you've got to trust him. Can keep rowing. We'll get to that in a moment. But the bottom line is they're tortured and tormented. Sometimes we feel tortured and tormented, and oftentimes in the middle of the sea. I'm out in the middle of the lake. I'm tortured, I'm tormented, I'm a long way from shore, the winds are contrary, I'm exhausted from what's been going on. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive this? God, why would you let this happen? God would say to you this morning, I not only let it happen, I caused it. And I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. You just keep on rowing, watch what I'm going to do, I'm going to be faithful. And we're going to see again, he's going to come to their rescue here in just a moment. Again, they're exhausted, beyond their choice, the middle of the lake. I mean, to make things worse, as we said, the winds are against them. There's no other option for them. The good news is that even when we are in this type of situation and see no way out or no end to the storm, the Lord can end it in an instant like that. In a moment, he can end it. We're going to see that he does that in just a moment. But again, the reason he's doing this in your life and in my life, and in their life, he's teaching them perseverance. And the problem with perseverance is there's only one way to get it, and that's by tribulation. Listen to what it says in Romans 5, 3 through 5. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Now, I can handle tribulation, but I have a hard time glorying in it. But here's why we glory, guys. We don't enjoy the tribulation. We glory in it because we know that God is doing something deep in us to make us more like Christ. He's building character. And listen to what he says here. You glory in tribulations. Here's why. Knowing that, tribulation produces perseverance. That's what they're in right now. They're in the tribulation of the storm. He's producing this perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Do you need hope this morning? Sometimes you have to go through tribulations to learn it. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The point is yes, you're going to go through the tribulation. There's going to be this hard time, but God's going to pour his love out in your heart as you see your character being developed, as you see the hope being grown in the midst of it, and God is going to give you the strength you need to do it. Now, it's interesting when the word tribulation here, what it means, it literally means to press, to squash, or to afflict with pressure into a narrow place. Doesn't sound fun, does it? Again, I think about the coal we talked about being pressured on all sides. I think about the trials that come in our life, and it's like, Lord, it's coming in on me from every side. What do I do? The pressure is so great. It's like, Mark, I have to do this. If I'm going to get you where I want you to be, trust me. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to annihilate you. I'm doing a work in your life. I'm going to see you through this. Again, I think about we've talked about before, the butterfly in the cocoon. They're wrestling and struggling. If you've ever watched them, you can see them when they're wiggling so hard going, I hate this. Get me out of this. Just get me out of here. But if you release them too soon, you probably already know this. If you release them too soon, it doesn't have time to push the juices into their wings. They have to struggle to push the fluid down into their wings, which brings their wings to life. It expands their wings that when their wings are ready and they break free, they can fly. And if they don't do that, if they don't struggle long enough, they're walking on the ground, you're going to become like just some little animal's lunch really fast. You're not going to have a chance. And so the point is God says, I want you to be able to expand your wings. I want to take you to new places, higher places, and there's no way I can do it except tribulation. All right, Lord, I hate this tribulation. I hate this situation. I just want out. I'm going to be honest. I want out. Sometimes I feel like I'm holding onto the bars of a prison going, get me out of here. I think about Joseph being locked up saying, get me out of here. Why am I here? I didn't do anything wrong. God is going, Joseph, I'm making you so beautiful. You have no idea what I'm doing, Joseph. You have no idea what I'm going to make you. You're going to be second most important leader in the world. I'm going to exalt you to a place you never could have gotten to. You're going to fly to heights you never could have dreamed about. Trust me in this, Joseph. Trust me. Hold on. It's going to be okay. And that I know that desire to be free, but we have to glory in it and go, okay, God, I hate this, but I glory in this because I know you're doing a deep work in me that's going to change my life forever, even though I feel squashed in this narrow place. Again, this misery produces the perseverance that God wants, which leads to the character and the hope. Now, it's interesting as well, perseverance in Scripture, the meaning of the word, I want to give you that as well, because it's kind of surprising to me. The first part isn't, the second part is, but when I think about the spiritual battle, it makes sense. The word perseverance in Scripture means to stand still, to endure, to bear, and to suffer. Okay, that all makes sense to me. We're supposed to stand still, to endure this, to suffer through it, know that God's going to be faithful. Again, what does it say in Ephesians? When you've done all, to stand, right? But it goes on, here's the second part of the definition, biblical definition of perseverance, and to wait for hostile attacks and stand firm against them. Isn't that interesting? What he's teaching his disciples is not just to be firm and unshakable, but they're about to go into a bunch of people that hate them, that are going to be opposing the gospel. The demonic realm is going to be against them. Mankind's going to be against them. And he said, guys, if you don't learn this perseverance now, you'll never make it. I remember God spoke to me something. He spoke to Jeremiah many years back, and I was going through something. This is probably 15 years ago. I can't remember how long. It's been a long time. But I was going through a real hard trial for me at that time. And as I was going through the trial, I was like, Lord, this is so hard. You know, when are you going to deliver me? What can I do? And God spoke that verse to me out of Jeremiah. He said, Mark, he said, look, and I put my name there, but he gave me that verse. If you can't run with the footman, what will you do when the horses come along? If you can't handle this, in other words, here's the point. If you can't handle this, how are you going to handle it when it gets really bad? Guys, we're entering into the last days. I believe that. I think we're not far from the rapture of the church and the world going into the great tribulation, and we're going to see the heat turned up on the church, not just the Jews, as is happening today. The Bible predicts that in Matthew 24, but it also says that on us, the heat's going to be turned up, and God's going to be working in our lives to be able to handle that heat and handle that pressure, because if we can't run right now with the footmen, with the kind of trials that we're facing, what are we going to do when the government comes down on us? You can't preach the gospel. You can't share the word of God. You can't do this. You can't do that. What happens when they say, hey, pastor, if you get up in the pulpit and teach this particular passage, you're going to jail. Am I going to do it or not? And if I can't learn to go with the footman, I'm never going to be that bold when it comes to say, well, I'm about to throw my life away and go to jail until I learn to run with those on the horses. And sometimes God has to take us through intense, deep trials to get us to a place where we can make that kind of stand. We have to be able to do it. And God, again, is working this in their lives. God wants to work this in our lives as well. I have the privilege, again, of getting to speak to different pastors in this region that, you know, oftentimes they're younger and they're starting up, and they'll give me a call and they'll say, hey, we got this going on in our church and this is happening. And I think, man, I look back and they go, I don't know, we need to pray. I'm just so overwhelmed. It's so heavy. It's so hard. And to me, I look at that trial and go, that is so nothing compared to some of the stuff that I've faced or am facing or whatever the case might be. But I've got to remember, I used to be there as well. You know, when I used to be, again, a beginning, you know, pastor like they were and very young, it didn't take much to get you off track. You know, hey, the codes guy, they won't let us do what we want to do. Oh, Lord, we're never going to make it, right? But that's the beginning of things. And then it grows from there. And I try to encourage them, you know, if they're telling me how big their trial is, sometimes I'm just on the other side of the phone smiling, but they don't know it. My heart's with them, but I'm going, oh, you wait. It's going to get really good, you know? This is just the beginning, brother, but I pray for them. You know, God, give them the strength. Let that code go through, Lord. Help that person not to be mad at them and come back to church or whatever the trial they're facing. And I'm not belittling those trials. But when somebody says you're going to jail if you teach about this particular passage, that's a whole different ballgame. You're leaving your family. You're leaving your wife. You're going into a place where people don't like you and they're not going to be nice to you. What are we going to do if we face that kind of thing? And so again, God had to get his disciples there who did face that. They all had to die for their faith. This was a part of their training to die for their faith. You're never going to make it if you don't do it. And so we have to toughen up. And I think we need to toughen up more in the days in which we live. And notice here where God put them. He put them in a place where they had no choice, even though exhausted, but to keep rowing. Maybe you're in a place this morning. You have no choice. You can't get out of it. You're too far from shore. The winds are blowing too hard. You don't have enough strength. You don't know how you're going to make it. But you know this, I have to keep rowing. If I don't keep rowing, I'm not going to get anywhere. Keep rowing. Because we're going to see as they continue to be faithful to row and do what God called them to do, then God's going to come to them and rescue them at the right moment. You just row and go, and you let God handle the rest of it. He's going to come to you. He's going to deliver you. And he was teaching them, keep on going. I want you to learn to be strong. And then as you get strong in that, I'm going to come to you at the right moment. I think one of the hardest things to do is to keep rowing when you don't have any strength to row. You just say, I have no more strength, Lord. And this is where we learn to depend on his strength. We cry out to God, and he gives us supernatural strength to row when we normally couldn't keep rowing. We're done. And God says, I'm going to give you what you need. Don't give up. I'm going to come to you. It'll be the right moment. Notice it says he saw them straining. in the rowing. And you need to know that God sees you this morning as you're straining in the rowing. He sees you in the strain, and he sees you in what's happening. God's going to give you what you need to do. You may think, well, again, when I think about strowing, why didn't God just fix it? Remember, because we have to go through that. But God can fix it. I heard a story just this week about a dad that his son, some on the radio sharing something, that he said his son had knocked off this, I guess it was like a, maybe it was a one of these, a ball that was, you know, a Lego ball. I think it was, you know, those Legos that they have for grown-ups. You kind of pretend you're, you know, still a kid, and you buy those, and you see them on people's counters. I'm just kidding. But it's a Lego ball, and the kid knocked it off and exploded, went in all directions. And he was devastated. Just a little kid, he was devastated. How will I ruin this thing? I've ruined Dad's Lego ball or whatever the case was. And it's like, it'll never be the same. And he said, I was able to look at my son and say, you know what? Dad can fix this. Although it shattered into a million pieces and has gone in all directions, I can put this back together. You can't, but I can, son. And that together, he watched him. They put it back together and set it back. And he said his son was just beaming, excited, seeing what our Father can do. Listen, your situation this morning, you've knocked the ball off the counter and pieces have flown everywhere. He can put it back together. You need to call out to him. You need to believe in him. You need to trust him. He can restore what man could never restore. He can redo what man cannot do in the first place. And so he's showing them this and letting them know, hey, this is going to be a moment where I'm going to show you something new that you've never seen before. And I'm going to show you my power in the midst of it. I'm going to show you how I can walk on water and do things supernatural that normally couldn't be done. But I'm going to do it at just the right time. Now, when was the right time? Notice what it says here. It says, now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them on the sea. And don't forget the last part, and would have passed them by. I'll get to that in a moment. First of all, he comes to them at the fourth watch. They broke the days up into different watches, and the fourth watch was between 3 and 6 a.m., the very last watch of the day. And why would the Holy Spirit do it this way? Why would the Lord do it this way and record it this way? What he's saying to us, I'm going to put you in trials that take you to the limits you've never been. You're going to have to learn to persevere in the midst of it and keep rowing even when you don't feel like rowing. But I'm going to come to you in a miracle. I'm going to come to you walking on water at just the right moment. At the very last moment, I'm going to come and rescue you. Do you believe me for that? Do you believe the Lord for that this morning? He's going to do it, guys. Now, if you don't believe it right away, you haven't experienced it. But you're going to see God is going to be faithful. And when we see his faithfulness, we grow in that. And it oftentimes seems like it is the last minute that the Lord comes. He doesn't always do that. But it oftentimes seems like the last minute, and no doubt they were feeling hopeless, and they were feeling like giving up, but they stayed faithful, and if we stay faithful, God will come through. And here's what's so neat to me. Again, notice how he came through. I've already said this. It was a supernatural way walking on the water. Your situation, there's no way, God, there's no normal way I can get out of this. There's no plan. There's no conversation. There's nothing I can say. You're right, Mark. There's nothing you can do, but I can do things you can't do. I'm going to come walking to you on the water and do something supernatural you didn't expect, and it'll blow your mind. You didn't believe it could be done, but watch what I do. He'll do the same thing for you. This is the God we serve. And as I was thinking about why would he come in such a dramatic fashion, I mean, he could have even gotten in a little boat and just kind of made the boat just go, you know, come out there. He could have done that. That would have been still pretty cool, wouldn't it? It's like, how did you get out here and do that? Well, just, you know, I'll teach you later. I don't know, right? I have motors you know not of, or whatever the case might be. They said, no, none of that. I'm not going to use any of man's means. This won't be a man's thing at all. I'm coming walking on the water. I'm going to show you I'm the Lord of all the universe. Guys, I want to encourage you in something. You have a privilege that is so amazing compared to the world and those who don't know Christ. Realize this. Maybe you're in the midst of a storm or something, a situation you can't fix and you don't know what to do. You can do this right now in your heart. You can do this in your own. Anytime you can do this, you can go right now before the tribunal of heaven, the God of all the universe, the highest court in the land, the highest God. There is no other God, the greatest power of all the universe. Because of the blood of his son, he's given you the ability to have access to go right before him and say, Father, this is something that is beyond me. I don't have the ability to fix it. It's beyond anything I can say. It's beyond anything I can do. I can't put this, you know, Lego ball back together. Lord, only you have to, it has to be supernatural, but I know you're listening to me right now, and I know you know what's going on. And what I really love about that is when you go before the Lord, you don't have to even explain anything, although we pour our hearts out, don't we? He knows it all already. He knows the whole situation. He knows every detail. He knows everything you're doing and everything you've done. And God says, I know what's right and I know what's wrong. I make my appeal before you, God. Would you move on my behalf? Would you move on behalf of my family or whoever you're praying for? You have access to the God of all the universe. And he hears you and he has the power to change it. That should be encouraging. That's the God that we serve. Know that you have that. Don't lay that aside. Avail that. Run to the Lord. Make your appeal. He's the one over all the universe. And so he's going to come in a very dramatic fashion here, walking on the water. And he does. He comes to them walking on the water. And again, what would that have been like? Again, notice it says he would have passed by, which is very intriguing to me. But he would have passed by if they didn't cry out to him. But they cry out, obviously, and we're going to see it's in terror here in a moment. And so he stops. But this is intriguing to me because it reminds me of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says the Lord was there with them and talking with them and would have gone on, but they said, no, Lord, stay. Don't go on. Don't pass by. And it's almost like God is teaching us, look, I'm always here for you, but call out to me. I'm waiting on you to call out. You know, maybe you've got a situation right now where you're rowing so hard, you're wearing yourself out. You're like, Lord, I don't have any more strength. That's the point. You don't have the strength to do this. Call out to me. I will come to you, and I will come to you in a supernatural way. I will deliver you in your time of need, but call. There's a relational thing that God is developing in us and teaching us to trust in him and teaching us to call out to him. And so, again, we need to cry out and not try to do this on our own. You might be straining this morning saying, I can do this. You know, I can get this extra money. I work a second job. I know I can get my kids to come back to the Lord. I can solve this situation in the office. And God's saying, stop it. Drop the oars. Call out to me. Ask for a supernatural miracle. You have access to the King of the entire universe. There's no higher authority, guys. Does everybody understand that? I know you do. I know you do. I'm speaking to the choir, so to speak. But you've got access right now, no matter what's happening in your family or your life. You have access to the highest power and ruler in the universe who promises, I know you, I love you, I know your name, I know the hairs on your head, I know everything about you, and I will listen, and if your cause is just, I will move. That's powerful, guys. And notice what it says here now. It says he would have passed by, verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. Again, for they all saw him and were troubled. Again, notice they supposed he was a ghost, and I can see that. They didn't really understand. They knew that demons were real, but again, I think they obviously still believed in ghosts at this point, which now we know that's demonic. But either way, imagine if you were in the middle of the lake and you weren't fully, I guess, informed on the demonic realm and what it really going on, and you see a guy walking across the water in a white robe with the moon illuminating. And what would you be thinking? And this is a freaky scene in your sign if you see it. And it says they cried out or they shrieked with terror. So it's like, you know, it seems like I'm using my doxy as an example here lately, but she has totally lost her hearing, right? 16 years old, no hearing. And so I made a big mistake the other day, which I feel bad about, but I came up behind her just to pick her up, you know, and she didn't even know I was home because I'd come in through the garage, and she's standing there, and I went to pick her up, and she'll, ah! I mean, she screamed like, life is over, I'm being murdered right now by a giant something, you know, whatever. And of course, I felt terrible and rubbed her and comforted her and all that, but this is the kind of sound they made. When I heard that, I thought, because I'm studying for this, I thought, Lord, that must have been what it was like, a bunch of doxies in the boat screaming, you know, rah, 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 you know. It probably wasn't quite like that, but either way, you know. But notice this, but immediately, I have that underline, look how quickly the Lord calms their heart. He'll do that for you when you're scared. Immediately, he talked with them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I love this. Notice, once he saw their fear, be of good cheer. I like the literal translation better. Again, that's it, the way it's translated here, I don't like as much as the literal. Literally, it says, take courage. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Take courage. God sees your situation. He knows your situation. He will fight for your situation. He's going to help you at the right time. Take courage. Don't leave her discouraged. Don't leave her down. Realize your God hears you. He's going to respond to you, but it's the right time. We have to wait on him, but he's going to do it. And so take courage. The Lord is with you. I think that's a word for some of you in this room. Receive it from the Lord. And look at verse 51. It says, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. Again, this kind of same kind of miracle when he said, peace be still in the last storm. Suddenly everything dies down. And again, just would have shocked them. They would have remembered, hey, he's done this before. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Now, we'll come back to that last thing. Very interesting there. Doesn't make sense, really, when you, on the surface, but when you think it through, it's all important. But first of all, notice when he comes and gets into the boat, I find it interesting that Mark leaves out the part where Peter walked on water. That's pretty significant to leave out. I mean, if we all come in from the boat and we have that night together and all the other guys in the boat tell you about, hey, Peter walked on water, and you ask, Mark, tell me your version of it. Yeah, and the Lord got in the boat and we got here. I said, what? What about Peter on the water? Oh, yeah, that's right. He did walk on water. That's kind of a big thing to leave out. But we know historically that Mark, again, was gathering information for this gospel on his own, but he was also being dictated to by Peter. Peter was helping Mark tell the stories where Mark wasn't there. So I'm not saying that Peter didn't tell Mark or that Mark didn't know it, but maybe Peter was like, you know what? I don't want you to mention me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. Maybe it was an act of humility on Peter's part. Why the Holy Spirit moved in Mark's heart not to do it. Maybe he said, no, I don't want you to tell people that, you know, I really lived up to the name Rock and started sinking. I don't want you to do that either, so let's not go there. For whatever the reason, the Holy Spirit left it out, and I think maybe simply a courtesy by Mark as he's working with Peter in writing this, although we know it was indeed the Holy Spirit. But notice lastly here, it says in this verse, for they were not understood, or they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hard. You know, what in the world does that have to do with this situation and the Lord walking on water? Everything. Everything. They had just seen an amazing miracle by a supernatural God on the bank the day before. 5 loaves and 2 fish fed thousands of people, being materialized right before their eyes, and they weren't getting it. It didn't sink in. It's like, yes, this is a miracle, but now they're out in the water. The Lord comes walking on the water. Why should that surprise them after what they saw on the bank with the loaves and the fishes? He's saying, you're not understanding my power yet. You're not recognizing my supernatural ability to do things you never dreamed or imagined. Guys, are you recognizing God's supernatural ability to do everything that he can do in your life right now in your situation? Or are you sitting back going, yeah, but, you know, don't be a yeah, but. Believe him. All right, God, you're a supernatural God. You can do supernatural things. I believe you. Whatever you choose to do, you do, but I'm not going to doubt you. They had to learn these lessons, and they had to learn to trust God in his supernatural power. Notice as soon as the storm was accomplished, this is something I want you to grasp. As soon as the storm had accomplished its purpose, it ended as quickly as it started. And here's one of the next lessons in lessons and trials or storms, and that is God's going to end it just as soon as he can. He's not trying to make you suffer for just no reason. There's a purpose in this. Again, when you read the other, I want to read the account out of John. It's very interesting because what it reveals to us is something very supernatural happened even after he walked on water. Listen to what it says in John 6, starting at verse 16. It says, now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. This is the same event. They got into the boat. They went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing, and when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat. Here's what I want you to see that's left out of this story. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. The word immediately means at that instant. Get what this is saying. Do you remember? They're 3.5 miles from the shore. It means the moment he got in the boat, there they were. How did that happen? You would think he would have thrown them back, you know. And you know, he just somehow transported. It was almost like a boat rapture. Just, whew, there they were at the bank. And they had to be going, can you imagine? They just saw him walk on water. They look up and there's the bank. They're going, oh, wow. Wow, God just kind of delivered us and healed us and got us out of that like that. Listen, this is for you this morning. You're in the middle of the lake. You're straining. You're rowing. You're tormented. You're miserable. This life, how's this ever going to work? He simply comes to you at the right moment of supernatural power, and there you are at the bank. It's over. He ends it as soon as it started because he's only going to let you go through it as long as you need to for what he needs to do in your life. But this gets even more exciting. Notice what happens here. I love this. Look at verse 53. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. Why is that exciting to me? Because Gennesaret literally means in the language harp. And guess what they used in worship in the temple and in the synagogues in that day? Harps. Look what he's saying. I know you just came out of a rough storm that was overwhelming, that was tormenting, that was horrible. You thought you'd never get out of it. It's not going to end. When I deliver you, I will not only deliver you instantly, I'm going to take you to a place of worship and praise and peace, and you can anchor there. Drop your anchor and enjoy the Lord. And some of you this morning, you need to drop your anchor at Gennesaret. Say, Lord, I just get me out of the storm. Bring me to this place. Look, even if you didn't take it to Gennesaret this morning, then you can begin to praise him in the storm. In the midst of the storm, lift up your voice to the Lord. Begin to praise him. Give him honor. Glorify his name. Show him that you trust him. God, I don't know when you're going to come to me, but you did the disciples. And here I am rowing and straining. Come to me whenever you want. I'm going to praise you now. And then when I get to Gennesaret, when I get to Harp, I'll drop anchor and praise you even more and brag of your glory and brag of your goodness and encourage others as they go through their storms and trials as well. I love this, the way God, again, the Holy Spirit even paints a picture of this, of how wonderful he is after the storm to minister to us and to strengthen us. And let's finish up the chapter here. Notice what he says. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. And they ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to whatever or wherever they heard that he was. Again, everywhere the Lord went, they were bringing the sick out and they wanted to touch them. Very understandable. And wherever he entered into villages or cities or the country, and they laid the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. As many as touched him were healed or made well. Again, remember we talked about this with the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years. What they would do is they would put these tassels on the edge of their garments, on the higher and the lower garments, and in the tassel they put a blue thread in all the tassels. And the blue thread was supposed to remind them of the blue sky and heaven. And God said, this is to remind you of my word and to remind you of my power. And so it was a constant reminder of God's word and God's power that he was their God. And he wants us to remember that. They said, hey, we remember that you're God and that you have the power. So we just want to touch you and touch your power. And we know we'll be healed. And it was a faith release. And God may be saying that to some of you this morning. You need to grab onto the Lord, the hem of his garment, in spirit and say, God, if I can just know that you touched me this morning, I want to grab onto something that's real. Make a connection with me. Let me connect with heaven and the word of God as he's doing even now in your spirit. And God, I want to receive the healing that you have. So if there's a healing that you need, receive that this morning from the Lord, even as they're receiving it then. But for us, as far as the main subject of what we're covering here, I want to leave with just a couple of questions, or really one question, and then pray over you guys, and that's this. Are you exhausted in the middle of a terrible storm today? You're worn out from rowing. Keep rowing. God's going to come to you at the right time. Know the Lord sees you. Know that the Lord is praying for you. And just at the right time, he will come to you in some supernatural way and bring you to a place of peace and worship. And here's a word from the Lord for you right now. The same thing he said to them. And I think the Lord would want you to hear this as we finish. Don't lose heart. Take courage. It is I. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, again, so much for your word this morning, God, and the power of your word, and the fact that you're so faithful to us, Lord, whether you're in the boat directing us and teaching us to increase our faith and not to doubt in the midst of the storm, or whether, God, you send us out into a place of learning to persevere and to trust you and see you in supernatural ways we've never seen you before while you watch over us and while you pray. Wherever we are this morning, God, thank you for your faithfulness. And I pray that whatever storm anyone in here finds themselves in, God, that you would just minister to them right where they are. If there's those that are not in storms, God, we know the storms are coming. And I pray you would just prepare them and get them ready and to remember this when the storm comes. For those that are in the midst of the storm, again, God, I pray you pour out your spirit and power upon them and let them know you are coming. At the right time, you will be there. And when you arrive, it will be supernatural. And they will suddenly find themselves at Gennesaret where they can anchor, a place of praise and worship, that they can drop that anchor, Lord, and begin just to thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you've done. Lord, would you pour out your spirit on your people today? Would you pour out your goodness? Would you pour out your grace? Would you encourage them, God, by your power and by your Holy Spirit? Lord, let your flock know how much this morning you love them and that you're watching over them regardless of the trials they're in. And we give you all the glory for what you're doing, Lord. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.